Well, you know what it's like. You get on a plane, ready for your holidays, you find your seat, and then comes the safety announcement. Here's how to put your seatbelt on, because you've never seen a seatbelt before. Please obey the seatbelt and no smoking signs while they're lit. If the plane were to lose cabin pressure, engine power, and start heading into the ground like a dart, make sure to put this mask on and put your head between your legs. Do you listen to those? Do you listen to the safety announcements? They tell us to. They say you better listen. Not all planes are the same. You better pay attention, and you never know. There are, of course, two types of people, those who pay attention and listen and those who don't. And I'm a preacher, and you can feel a sermon in there, can't you? People who listen and people who don't. Do you know what, though? That's actually a good place to start with our passage this morning. It's a safety announcement. That's what you heard earlier. The whole of 2 Peter is about the end and about getting ready for it. It's like the airplane safety announcement, but the difference is that some kind of disaster is definitely coming for some. It's nothing short of the end of the world. Some will listen to the safety briefing, some won't, but the plane is going to crash. 2 Peter is like a firm slap in the face. If you go home and read it today, take you about 8 minutes. It feels like a slap in the face. It's for Christians who have fallen asleep or stopped paying attention. And this is why the language is a bit strong. For example, these lines, people talking about the end, this is maybe a bit small for you. They will say, "Where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. Here's the end. By these waters, also the world of that time was deluged, flooded, and destroyed. And it goes on like that. Strong words, strong stuff. It's end of the world, flood stuff. That should be a familiar feeling to us, but humanity is very good at forgetting. The other line you were probably more familiar with in our reading was this one. "The day of the Lord will come like a thief." We've all heard that, haven't we? It's a very Northern Ireland kind of verse. But what does it say to us? It's the same, folks, as the onboard safety briefing. We're to expect the unexpected. We are to prepare accordingly. But some aren't listening. And that's really what we're talking about this morning. What are we to do as we prepare for heaven? We might think it's all grace alone, through faith alone, so why do we have to do anything? Jesus says on the cross, it's finished. So what is there to do? Now listen, speaking of thieves, I do believe the thief on the cross beside Jesus saw him in paradise. A bad guy saved by Christ alone. But very few of us are dying on a cross. And my Bible keeps telling me to change and grow, to change and mature towards Christ and with his help. I can't ignore those verses. There's a lot of that in this letter in 2 Peter. Here's just one. It's a good one. To the church, he says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. There's a plan for change. Hard to ignore. Sits in the middle of this letter. What do we do about that? You know, we circle back to this all the time, especially in Protestant circles. It's so important to get this right. It's so important to get faith and change the right way around. Yes, we're saved by faith in Jesus. He does it all. You can't work your way into heaven. You can't be good enough for God. But then having been loved that much, to that extent, in the death of his own son, The real Christians can't help but respond. We want to do something, don't we? It's not that we're trying to earn God's love. We've got it. It's that we respond to that love. We don't shrug our shoulders. God doesn't say, I love you this much. We don't say, okay. We're moved by that. That's Easter, isn't it? Heidelberg Catechism. I'm going to give you a second to wake up again. The Heidelberg Catechism says it's impossible for those grafted into Christ through faith not to produce fruits of gratitude. And that's 2 Peter. Peter writes to the church in this way because we are forgetful. We lose interest in anything, everything, even the things that we once found exciting and inspiring, we forget. Some of you know I'm a big snooker fan. Among some of my first memories is me sitting on Granny Alice's living room floor cheering on Jimmy White. Between puffs of her cigarette, on Jimmy. It's one of my first memories. And I still do that, not the cigarette. And you know, when the World Championships are on TV in April, the snooker halls in Northern Ireland are full. We watch the likes of Ronnie O'Sullivan, the greatest there ever was. He works his magic round the table, and we're inspired. We find our cues, and we head to the local clubs. In April, after the World Championship, the tables are all booked. But they're empty again in May. We forget. We lose our enthusiasm. We grow tired and apathetic. It's only the true fan who commits and plays on. Or, and here's where we need to listen carefully, we forget grace. We lose our Christmas and Easter enthusiasm for the church, for the prayer meeting, or for serving in organizations. We get tired. We can certainly be called apathetic when it comes to our faith. It's the true Christian who presses on. They hear the safety briefing, the warning, the reminders, and they are constantly in wonder at who Jesus is. They do something about it. Here's what they do. We heard it already. This is what they do. They make every effort to add to faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, etc., etc. And we hear all of that, folks, come together in our proper reading this morning. This was the bit we're going to focus on. Grow in grace. But what does he say before that? Because you've been forewarned, you've heard the safety briefing. You know, be on your guard. Don't get carried away. That's flood language, by the way. Don't miss that. People in the flood were carried away. That's what he's talking about. But instead, what do? Grow, change, mature in grace and knowledge of Jesus. Grow in grace. That's such a nice phrase, isn't it? I could shake your hands this morning and pat you on the shoulder and say, hey, good to see you. Thanks for coming. Grow in grace. But remember, 2 Peter is not like that. 2 Peter is a slap in the face. It's the wake-up call. Bad stuff will happen in the end. Bad people will do it to you. They don't care about you. In fact, they hate you. You better grow in grace. That's the tone. Do you feel it change? It's not a nice sign-off to a letter. It's not, well, that's me, message delivered. I hope it's all going to go well with you. You'll be grand. That's not it. Disaster is coming. You better grow in grace. Anything not growing is by definition dead. And your years of Sunday school lessons, sermons, quiet times, they aren't going to cut it, I'm not happy to say. We hope these things, we pray these things might have an effect someday. We do the Sunday school thing, the youth club thing, we go to the prayer meeting, we listen to hundreds of sermons in our lifetimes, And we hope that some of it sticks, that there might be some fruit in there somewhere, don't we? But these words are written in the present tense. Grow in grace is not that nice sign-off. It's the battle call to everyday faith. It speaks about how fresh your sin is, but also how God's mercy is the same every single day. Hearing the warning and this call and responding to it will make you holy. And at the risk of annoying you by the same message over and over again, that means it will make you different. The world is not like this. The world doesn't want to be like this. This will make us holy, different. And you know what? You've just experienced 2 Peter chapter 3. You've just sat through it. You've come to church. You find your seat. You've heard the safety briefing. Were you listening? Do you know what to do if things go wrong in your church or in your life? Now, what's the point of a safety briefing? It's in case disaster strikes. But what's the point of 2 Peter? It's in case glory strikes. And except there's no just in case about it. On the plane journey, the chances of you needing everything in the safety announcement are very low, very low. In all the time we've been flying around the world, we've proven it's very, very safe. And so we ignore the briefings, don't we? We jump on the plane, we find our seats, we get ourselves settled. We're not likely to need that information. We have a vague idea about seat belts and oxygen masks and the seat cushions that float and those wee whistles they give you in case you're stuck in the water. But we're not seriously considering that we'll need all of them. In fact, you know what? I'd probably say to you this morning, don't worry about it. You'll be grand. But today I can't say that. You can come to church for years. You can have vague notions of Jesus and the cross and Easter and prayer, and you have that niggling feeling that you should be changing. You should be growing in grace and knowledge, as Peter says. But we kid ourselves, don't we? It'll be grand. It'll be fine. But it's not just disaster and destruction that's coming. Glory is on the way too. We thought about this last year. Do you remember we did a series on things God can't do? Do you remember that? Do you remember God's glorious, unapproachable light? No one can see God. That's glory. And actually, 2 weeks ago, we heard the reminder that without that, without holiness, no one will see God. We need daily growth in grace because glory is coming. Not because disaster is coming, because glory is coming. It's going to strike. And the way Peter tells us about it is a clue that it matters today and not just in the future. He says, to him, Jesus, be glory now and forever. Do you see it? It literally says that you and I are to grow in grace and knowledge today and for the day of eternity. We can't just rely on the investment of years gone by. You can't just hope that you'll be grand. It'll be okay in the end. You and I have got to make moves in this direction every day, not so that we can avoid trouble, but so that we will see eternity. That's a massive, big idea to drop in front of you this morning, I know. And we can't really grasp it in one go. So to that, I always say the same thing, like, come back next week, we'll try again, we'll talk some more. And I'd also tell you a short story. It's a story that reminds me of a shift in viewpoint that I need in tough times, when those difficult times come your way, when I forget to look up and try to glimpse glory and where we're heading. I think about this all the time. It's a story that reverses my thinking. It leads me away from worry and towards hope. And it's a true story. My friends Alan and Claire had got engaged, and there was a party. And my other friend Stephen was picking me up and giving me a lift. But typical Stephen, he was running late, always late. And that meant that when we got in the car, we were rushing to get to the party. And in the rain and the rushing, and Stephen was driving a little bit fast, we hit a corner. The back end of the car flew out, and we started to spin. We just missed a wall and an oncoming car. And we finally came to a stop. In the shock and the silence that followed, Stephen looked at me right into my eyes and he said this. He said, "Craig, we just had a near-life experience." You didn't hear that properly, did you? We just had a near-life experience. It would not have been a disaster for two Christian fellows to have died in that crash. It would have been glory. We would have gone home and we would be with Jesus. Therefore, dear friends, since you've been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord our Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and for the day of eternity. Shall I pray for us? Father, we are forgetful of grace. We're forgetful that you don't just save us, but call us to live alongside you every day. Your word is not an emergency measure. It's a lamp for our feet. Father, some of us need that reminder this morning. Some of us need to start again. Some of us need to feel grace for the first time. But Father, all of us quietly long for glory. So help us this morning, wherever we are, Lord, for Jesus' sake and his glory. Amen.